This is Fresh Air. That's trumpeter Miles Davis and saxophonist Charlie Parker playing in Parker's classic bebop quintet in September 1948. Davis was 22 years old. That same month, he took time off to front a 9-piece group for 2 weeks at a New York club. Few people heard his nonette then, but the studio recordings the band made in 1949 and 50, now known as the Birth of the Cool Sessions, are among the most influential in jazz history. They've just been reissued, and jazz critic Kevin Whitehead has a review.
In jazz, major changes often occur when a style that's in vogue begins to sound stale. That's part of the reason why small, flexible bebop units replaced the big lumbering swing bands in the mid-1940s. In the late 40s, the rise of cool jazz marked a radical break with bebop. The new music was less astringent and fiery. But it didn't stem from a dissatisfaction with bop, which was still going strong. In fact, the band on the Birth of the Cool Sessions included bop stalwarts like drummer Max Roach and Miles Davis himself. They were simply looking for something a little different. That's a point worth making, because some modern musicians talk as if there's just one right way to play jazz. Miles Davis was the driving force behind what we now call the Birth of the Cool. He got the music performed and recorded, which is why his name is on it. But the brains behind the band were the writers who created its sound. Arranger Gil Evans was the ringleader. He'd already been writing similar music for the orchestra of Claude Thornhill. The four brass and two reeds in Davis's band let him express the same ideas in sketchier form. Evans and his fellow arrangers, Johnny Carisi, John Lewis, who was the band's pianist, and Jerry Mulligan, its baritone sax player, often wrote dissonant harmonies, but they'd mute their effect by assigning the weird notes to the soft-sounding French horn. Miles Davis's Birth of the Cool Sessions have finally been reissued on CD. When I listen to them now, 40 years after they were recorded, they strike me as incredibly fresh. A major reason is their economy. It's not just that the arrangers got orchestral effects from only 9 musicians, or that the band's entire output amounts to just 12 tunes. It's that the charts get right to the point. They're all under 3.5 minutes long. They make efficient use of their materials. Jerry Mulligan's composition, Venus de Milo, is built around one catchy, repeating line. Not everyone likes this music. It's been accused of not swinging or of smothering the soloists in too much fine detail. I don't think either charge holds up. Listen to John Lewis's arrangement of Denzel Best's tune Move and to the way Miles Davis toys with the rhythm in his short trumpet solo. ¶¶ Miles Davis' Nonette had enormous influence on jazz musicians based in California. It inspired the entire West Coast school of the 1950s. When you hear a West Coast classic like Shorty Rogers' composition Popo, it's hard to miss where it came from. Some West Coast cool jazz was pretty bad, which is the other reason some folks resent the birth of the cool band. They hold it responsible for the weak music it inspired. But you don't judge an artistic movement by its failures, and the best Miles Davis cool sides are minor masterpieces, which is why Birth of the Cool is one 35-minute CD that doesn't leave me feeling shortchanged.
Kevin Whitehead is a regular contributor to Downbeat and Cadence. This is Fresh Air.